Thank you, brother. If you mind, can we come in the middle wing here? Was crunching in the middle wings, these two wings here. There's plenty of room. We'll finish our lesson we started 2 weeks ago. Is that hard to believe? It's been 2 weeks ago. It's so crazy. The first time I taught this lesson was the first week of April. Next week is the first week of May. Do you feel like your life is flashing before your eyes? So, do you guys mind if you come over here? You can sit in the front if you like. So while everybody's getting together, anybody have a testimony of either you gave a gospel tract or you got to talk to somebody this week from last Sunday to this Saturday? There's an opportunity you had. You either gave a gospel tract, you left a gospel tract somewhere, you talked to somebody about Jesus Christ. Anybody want to do that? Just quickly say, yes, I did at a Walmart, something like that. Go ahead, Ms. Brianna. She's already way ahead of our lesson because there's going to be a challenge someday to try to talk to somebody at your work. So I appreciate that, Ms. Brianna. That's a great, great opportunity, right? I did that when I was working at Walmart a long time ago. And people responded, and people criticized you, obviously. People have their opinions. But there was people, when they found out that you were saved, they would come to you for like a big prayer request. Somebody had cancer in their family, or they were going through financial problems. They'd hunt you down in the break room, and they'll run to you and say, hey, I know you pray. Pray for me. So you can be ministering to lost people. And then someday you'll see them maybe find faith like you have in Jesus Christ. My brother, going to that topic with Brianna, kind of jump start there. My brother Andrew, my mom made a testimony, but my brother told me the whole, a little bit of the detail of that. He speaks out for the Lord in his work as a Coast Guardman. And there was a gentleman that saw that. And one time went to him secretly, like Nicodemus went to Jesus at night, and said, you know what, I'm saved, but I don't have what you have where you openly talk about it. And he said, I would like to know where you go to church. And so, surely enough, they ended up going to the church he goes to. He's got a wife and a little daughter, I think, or a son. And they've been coming to the church now. He's saved. We don't know if the young child is saved, so we'll pray for that one. That would grow up in this church and hear the gospel and get saved. So, kind of what Brianna was talking about. Great job, Malachi. I appreciate that. You're going to notice that God uses all of us. All of us have to say something to someone. Because we can't depend on just a few people. We have to do our part, everyone, to see people come to the church. Look at how many people we have. And if each of you talk to someone, that is much more exponential than if, okay, the pastor's job is to do it, and I will do it. I'm trying. Pastor's trying. Our pastor is great. He's trying. Pastor Seth's trying. There's people that are trying. But you know what? It would be more if all of us did it together. And I'm loving hearing this situation. There's people that probably won't even cross paths, those people. But you're crossing paths with them. And you're being used now by God, leading you to do those things. I'm kind of jealous sometimes. All the people I work with in the church, they're all saved. They're better Christian than I am. I can't witness to them, right? So I'm finding opportunities to go out. And a lot of times, your connection in this world means a whole lot more because you're in the right direction already. You already have where they look at you, oh, you're Brianna. I work with you. Whereas I go to their house and like, who's that weird looking pastor? Can't even hardly speak straight. Right? They're going to be more apprehensive and stay away. In fact, I'm going to give you a story. And it's a testimony. There's a house in Richardson Road. and it's by owner. So we thought it might be a good thing to call. So I stopped by, talked to the neighbor. The neighbor's nice. I already liked the neighbor. And got little kids. And so there was a house there. It was not on the market. You can't find it anywhere. And by the way, we know. We have all the apps for all the houses. Zillow, you name it, we have it. We can tell you, you know, anyways. So I called the guy, left a message. Never called me back. And somebody, I think it was Rachel, saying, well, they probably thought you're a telemarketer. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I got that accent. Maybe that's the case. So let's prove it herewith now to be that the true. So, and I told my wife, call. This is the number. Sure enough, the guy picks up and goes, hey. And I'm like, what? Hey, how you doing, bro? Hey, what? And she set up a time tomorrow night, 7 p.m., to look at the stinking house. I feel that small. So I told her, in despite, I'm going to wear my authentic that I can only wear, this color. Look at Brother Ian. He's wearing the same. That maroon that flashes and shines, you know, because of our color skin. So I'm just going to jump all in there, right? It's a gift. I appreciate, you know who you are. I appreciate it. It was a gift that somebody gave me, and so I'm wearing it for them and for the Lord. But anyways, anybody else? Brother Evans. Those people that speak with an accent, they're good kids. They're good guys. I'm going to just milk this up. Because I feel that small when she called, and she's like bumbling around on the phone because I'm normally the one that sets this up. And she goes, babe, I just got a house opening here on 7 o'clock. I'm going to call him again. Leave messages. Hey, I am from India. No offense to those Indian brothers. But I don't know if they're watching. We're in the web, so. Anybody else? Do you feel some camaraderie when you're hearing other people just like you talking to people? That means it can be done. Now, I don't want to force you. Don't be like, I don't know what I'm doing, and then I'm just going to do it. All right? Pray about it. Ask God to lead you. You're a different person than the other person that spoke. So let God lead you. It might be just a gospel track. You leave where you're eating. You don't even talk to the waiter. You just leave it there. Put a nice tip on it. And then walk away. You know? But if we're not conscious about souls, we'll never be conscious. We have to consciously put it in our mind. We have to say, I have to influence somebody else. Today. The hardest day is Sunday. Now, sometimes the Lord will bring people to our church. And even in that time, Pastor does an amazing job. He prays and helps them pray a prayer. But you notice he said on Wednesday, it'd be nice if we followed them up. You know, he's not going to say it because I'm not going to come up to embarrass you. But he didn't say one of us can come up to them. You know how that approaches you, be welcoming and nice to these people. And then naturally you just go in and say, hey, did you hear about what our pastor was talking about? About being saved and asking Jesus to save you? I've led several people in the church because of that. After the service is done, we come right to them and ask them. Let's be welcoming, okay, when it comes to that, because God's bringing lost people into our church. We have no excuse than not to give them the gospel. What a waste of opportunity when they come and we don't do it. I'm going to review quickly. We're talking about the essentials of evangelism. Evangelism itself is very essential. It's very important. That's why I'm making a big emphasis on it. Pastor talked about a principle. If you sow an emphasis, you're going to reap a result. And so we want to emphasize this idea of soul consciousness, lost souls around us as Christians. That is our commission. Part of the reason when God saved us in Ephesians 8, 9, 10 is also there, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And part of good works is what? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The reason for doing good works is as a testimony, so that your message is not hindered by your life. Somebody said it this way, and I believe it partly. You know, sayings of men are sometimes faulty because we're men. But it's a good saying. The power of your witness is your testimony. The power of your witness is your testimony. The Bible says, Pastor quoted it a couple of weeks ago, he said you can convert or you can win people by the word of your testimony. Now, if you testify to the lost and say, I have a changed life, and they see it, what power is that testimony when they see that life change? In fact, any theologian, anybody that would argue with you intellectually, in an intellectual level, that will argue with you theories, ideas, they cannot argue a changed life. They can't argue when you say, well, I used to be this way, now I'm this way. They cannot argue that. Most of them will tell you, well, that's good for you, but it doesn't mean it's good for everybody else. Well, then you can tell them, well, taste and see for yourself, because it's an individual basis. God changes us individually. And so keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for those that are willing to give a testimony. Next week, let's give a testimony. We got full of tracks. That room is full of tracks. Brother Dai just reminded me there's a whole boatload of tracks down below us. So some of us can always fill that up. So don't even be afraid to grab maybe 50 and go out there and drop. And I'm going to give you some ideas here. And this lesson will progress to challenges. So we're going to have some challenge, all right? So let's pray, right? Prayer is essential to evangelism. We already know that. What do we need to pray for? We need to pray for opportunities. We talked about that. We need to pray for boldness, courage, to do something that we're afraid to do. Guys, I am afraid to do this. It doesn't matter if you're bubbly or not. It's still very scary to talk to somebody about their soul, especially in a culture that doesn't want it, that doesn't welcome it, okay? So we still need to do it. And now, we talked about others. So I want to focus on those. Let's pray for others. There's some sub-points to that. And number one is laborers. So we're talking about prayer. We need to pray for laborers. You know why I'm encouraging people to testify? Because I want laborers. I want you to see that there's other people just like you doing what they can do. Technically, all of us should be able to give a testimony and say, hey, I dropped a gospel tract when I was getting gas. Or when I bought groceries, I gave the cashier a gospel tract. Okay, it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be big. Now, some doesn't want to testify for the sake of that they're very shy. That's no problem. Maybe you can come to me and say something, or somebody you trust that can come and say something. Because we want, the Bible talks about, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 11, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. We know 13 is very familiar. But 11 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed of the fact that they're saved. Right? Romans 1:16, that we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Right? There's no shame of being affiliated with the one true God. They'll make you feel ashamed out there, but don't. Don't be feel ashamed. We're royalty. We're heirs. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. You are a joint heir. You have all that he has, right? In Romans chapter number 8. So look at Matthew 9, 37 to 38. There's a parallel version of this in Luke, but we're not going to go to Luke. I'm going to read you this, very familiar to us. Verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, verse 38, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Mind you, what is Jesus doing when he said this to his disciples? He is winning souls. Remember when he called these men, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What was Jesus doing already by simply asking them to come? He was fishing for men. He was fishing for them. They didn't even know that. Said, hey, I'm going to fish for you. I want you. You're going to be with me. And then I'm going to teach you what I did to get you. And that's what the disciples were. They were trained. They were prepared. They were instructed. They were equipped so that when Jesus went unto heaven, his truth continued. You know how I know that? Because here you are. Here I am. And guess what? It's going to continue. Why? Look at the 152 missionaries we support. We have one that is sent out from us. And I already know he's reaching souls. In fact, I'm part of the time I was there when we saw 20 people got saved. I'll never forget that. Okay? I want to go back. Why? Because those souls need to get saved just like these people here need to get saved. And so, Justin, if you're listening, if you're going to listen, if you ever want to listen to this, we have a part. Of anybody you win, we have a part. Hallelujah. It's not just yours, bro. It's ours too. Anyways, the thought is we need laborers. We need laborers. Let me say it again. We need laborers. Laborers. There's a sign-up sheet over there if you're available on April 30. We need laborers. Who are the laborers? Anybody that's saved. Anybody that's saved. You have been commissioned to go corporately as a church, but individually as an individual believer. You are called to be laborers. John 17, 24, 26. Let's go to that. John 17, 24, 26. We'll be quickly here. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. We understand that God giveth the increase. Pastor talked about that. They labor in vain if God doesn't give the increase. So we don't want to do this surely because, yes, I can do this. We don't want to do this in the flesh. That's why it is important to have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will guide you into talking to people. How do you know that? Because you're going to feel that still small voice while you're eating. Hey, as you stuff in your mouth and as your belly becomes full, don't forget to give a tip and give a gospel track. Hey, that gas person that's pumping your gas, give him a gospel track. And I say, no, he looks so crazy. I don't want to talk to that person. God says, give him a gospel track. You feel that? Anybody feel that? Guess what? Can I say this without being so weird? That's the Holy Ghost. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us to be a witness. So why would not Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, convince his people he loves, hey, I love you so much. I want to extend my love. Can you be a tool for me to use to extend my love to the next person? If you're a good mechanic, you've done a great job, they love you. Guess what you can do when you fix their car next time? Leave a gospel track. They're not going to be, they're like what we call in the Philippines, they're a suki, which is a customer that comes to you all the time. They just love you. They just keep coming back to you because you're really good. Those are the people. You know what I did in the Philippines? It came to me. I have a guy that cleans my air conditioning all the time because they have to clean it, like spray it down, shh, because of all the dust. So I invited him to church. The guy that works on my car, I invited him to church. The guy that I buy chicken from, I invited him to the church. The place where I get my car clean all the time, I invited those guys to the church. Did everybody show up to church? No. Did some? Absolutely. Some went to church. And that is what I'm trying to say. Not everybody's going to want to come here. So what? That's not our job to bring them here. Our job is to invite them. It's their job to come. All right? But if you're nice and you tip well, they're going to say, yeah, I'll visit. And then they might come and they'll hear the gospel. Okay? Look at it says here, that they may behold my glory, verse number 24 of John 17, which has given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world had not known thee. That's the very essence why we have a mission, because they don't know Jesus. If they don't know Jesus, they're not going to believe on Jesus. And if they don't believe on Jesus, they're going to go to hell. So we need to let them know Jesus. He's the Savior. But I have known thee, and this have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Is that amazing? God is saying, hey, I know, God, you love me. And so I want that love to be given to them. And that's what Jesus is saying to you. You know how I love you. If you're saved today, you know how Jesus loves you. And God is saying this. Can you share that? Can you be the next link to this chain? Can you link with somebody else that don't know that and let them know how much I love you? That's a witness. A witness is, I declare to you that God loves me. I declare to you that God will save me and has saved me. You can have it too. And may they find that in your testimony and they may get saved. Look at 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men. You know, on Wednesday nights we have those prayer lists in the back. Why don't you capitalize on those? Write, if you don't want to write full names, write first names. Lost people I know, I want to get saved. Guess what? You're praying for them. Share it with us. We'll pray for them too. All right? Last few times my mom has put in there about my grandma and grandpa. And for the sake of this, I don't want to say anything. Their name. Because of World Wide Web. But you can do that. And guess what? Anybody that prayed over those prayer lists, I know in my mind, it was encouraging. Why? Because they prayed for those people's name. Right? We can do that. All right? Think about it that way. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As a laborer, we need grace. We need patience. We need love. We need mercy. We need long suffering. We need gentleness. We need meekness. What is that? That's our relationship towards men. We have to be patient with people. If we now, look at the world now, if we reach any of them, eventually, Lord willing, they'll come to this place. And when they come to this place, guess what they're going to have? They're not going to have the standards we have. They're not going to have the character training maybe some of us have. And may I say this kindly? They're going to need help. And guess what? We're going to have more patience to deal with people the further they are away from the Lord. Our country is antichrist. There's a spirit of antichrist. We are not popular. We are not the ones they shout about and say, yes, them Baptists, woo! I want to be with those people. No. No. In fact, if they stumble here, a lot of their friends will persecute them. You know, those that have just gotten saved. You got friends that tell you, that's a cult. Those people are weird. They have weird beliefs because they're so different now from the world. If you stand on any truth from the scriptures and just reading the Bible, you'll stand out very differently. And so we need to have more patience as we bring these people in. We need to be more prayerful. We need to be more kind. We need to be watchful because there's danger when you bring the world into the church. There's going to be influences. I was talking to my kids. Because we have some people coming in now, and I'm not going to say anything, because for the sake of protecting those, we don't want to offend anybody. But they have beliefs from the world. They have young beliefs that they were being taught in school. They're bringing it in here. Guys, any woke idea, anything to do with transgender, anything to do with anything the world is promoting, guys, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be children that will have those mentality. And if we're going to bring them here, we're going to have patience. That's wrong! They'll never come back. You can do it that way, and you're right, because the Bible says so. But they're never going to come back. Won't you gently approach them and let them fall, but then be there to pick them up again. And say, this is what the Bible says. I know they teach you that, but this is what the Bible says. You understand that? You're going to raise children? I hope you do. And if you raise children, you're going to face this. Okay? It's going to be a crazy world out there, but we're going to have more patience. And if we want any hope of winning anybody to the Lord, we're going to have to be that way. It's not that we're tolerant of sin. It's not we're compromising. No, in fact, we're standing so strong. But we're making it palatable. If I'm teaching Abby something very serious, I can't approach it like I'm teaching an adult because the maturity level of that person is not there. So I bring it to a level where they can understand. And I teach them line by line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. repeating myself many times. So that as they grow, I'll put more meat to that outline, to that principle. And then pour more meat on it. And hopefully they grow to the point where now they're helping me, helping them. Rather than my children be critical. Because they can be, because they grew up. They don't have to worry about transgenderism. They know. Genesis. God made Adam and Eve. If you talk to Abigail, she'll tell you. But we tell her, be patient. Because you're going to be running around with kids that are being taught in the public school that it is not the truth. Okay? We need to have some patience so that we can be effective. So that we can reach those people. Jesus got made fun of. He's a friend of sinners. You stand on something. Jesus was standing on this. I'm going to reach those people. He's making fun of by the religious group, but he was trying to reach those people. You think they thought Mary Magdalene was a superwoman? And Jesus ministered to that woman, changed her life. And the religious people said, no, nothing to do with that. Okay? Hebrews 4:16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. We read that. Daniel 9. This is our last verses to read. Daniel chapter 9, verse 17 to 20. The Bible says, verse 17, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Verse 18, Daniel chapter number 9, verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolation. Okay? And the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. He's praying for his people Israel. Verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. He's testifying here, I'm praying for my own problem, my own sins, and I'm praying for my people. Pastor preached a message one time and he asked, can we pray for our country? And may I suggest to you, let us keep praying for our country generally as a whole. That we can come back to the Christ that we're founded on. The principles we are founded on. But if they don't go back, church, here, Faith Bible Baptist Church, and anybody that we affect, all the church that the Lord used us to help plant, those people and the people that we've sent out in different places of the world, men that used to come here, ladies that used to come here, Brother Justin that is in PNG, the people that I was able to reach because of us sending me over there, they're still affected by us. They're with us. Some of them are watching today. May we do not do what the world does. May we be Christian that follow Christ. May we have an attitude of prayer. We need to pray for laborers. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for people out there that they will listen to the gospel. I'm going to give you a few thoughts here and we'll be done. It is 40 minutes till, and I'm going to give you a quote here. I don't know this evangelist, so I'm not going to give you his name for the sake of it, but I'll give you a quote. We should always talk with God. I think I preached this one Sunday about prayer. There has to be a prayer time, which I do have those every day. There's a time I pray, and you should have that. But there's also a prayer life, which is an attitude of prayer everywhere you go. And part of soul winning, we have to have this because at times it has to be spontaneous. It has to be spontaneous. You have to be ready to give an account, or you need to give a hope of the reason of the hope that's within you. God might say, hey, this is the time to give a gospel tract. We need to have gospel tracts ready at hand. We can give it, or we know the scriptures enough in our testimony to tell it, okay? But here's a thought, and I like it. He said, we should always talk with God about our neighbor before we talk with our neighbor about God. You see the importance he's putting in there? And I like that importance. before we talk to anybody, before we talk to a soul, we need to beg God. God, direct us. God, show us. God, give us the words. May it be few words, but give us. Jonah said a few words, 8 words, and a whole nation turned to God. It's not about us, but it is about us in that we are a vessel used for the master and meet for his use. May we say, here's something. My children sometimes don't say a word. They just go up. And it's a gospel track, and the person's like, okay, and then walks away. Right? Don't let Philip beat you out on this. He's not even saved. Okay? And so let us, my friends, encourage us. Let us be consciously in our mind. God, you left us one major thing, and we can't argue about it. It is so true to be a witness. We can argue about a lot of things. What is modesty? We can argue about a lot of things. What is sanctification? You can argue about a lot of things, but you cannot argue about witnessing. It's so clear that we ought to do it. And so let us find ways to be ready and give an answer. Pray to God always for opportunities. As you go about your day, pray continuously for opportunities to share the gospel. Don't put a time frame. Just pray. Today I'm leaving to go to work. Maybe I'll stop at a convenience store and get myself a drink. Lord, maybe there's a person walking right by and I'll just like, whoops, something for you, go in, run. Something like that in your mind, always cautiously and paying attention. You'll be amazed how God provides them when you're truly ready in this way. God knows if you're wanting it, and he'll provide the opportunity. After you share the gospel, pray for the person you shared it with to provide spiritual protection and guidance as they read and ponder the message of eternal life the booklet contains. So you pray, and then you do something. And then once you do it, remember that person's face, if you didn't get the name. And just pray, hey, that lady at the counter, Lord, I just gave the gospel tract, and I'm passing by. I pray that she don't throw it away. I pray there'll be a situation in her life she'll open and read it and walk away. That's not hard to do. It's not hard to do. It just has to be consciously in our mind. It has to be emphasized in our mind all the time. Right? Here's a thought about your testimony. Some of us have amazing testimony where it's very clear cut. We were wicked and then God saved us. Now, I don't want you to share very intimate details, but you can share some that is powerful, right? I've shared my testimony many a times. And I try to be discreet and don't hurt people that are involved in the situation. I don't try to glorify sin. But at times, God will lead me to say, because I feel this person, God's showing me, this person will be benefited if I share with them how I got saved. In fact, the first time I ever talked about Jesus is that when I talked about it, about how I got saved. I didn't know all the Romans wrote. I didn't know all the verses in John, the verses in Revelation. I didn't know any of those. I didn't know Isaiah 53. I don't know Psalms 22. I didn't know any of those. You know what I said? Something happened. I'm calling my mother on the phone. Something happened. I got something. Jesus will save us, Mom. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? Right? May that burden you. May that say something in your heart that, man, I need to learn how to say this. Maybe I practice a few sentences, or maybe I practice an introduction. Maybe I put points in there. Maybe I learn verses. Maybe I'll try to conclude this. All right? That's not just for the preacher. That's anybody that would give an intelligent way of explaining any truth, right? And so let's learn that. I don't have time. And people are fast-paced, so keep it short. If you're going to give your testimony, highlight truths, glorify God in your testimony. Don't elaborate so much that you lose them. Let me say this to you, not trying to burst your bubble. You're not the most important person in the world. I know sometimes we don't remember that. I don't, but I have to learn. I'm not the most important person. But there's someone that is more important than any of us, and that's Jesus. And all I'm trying to do is use my life to glorify Him. Use my little life, glorify Him. Talk about me shortly, but then God. Oh, I was like, God. And you're doing that. Don't say that. You're going to freak them out. But you know what I'm trying to say? You can talk about yourself, but then make God big. God swooped me up and just changed my life. Don't sound arrogant about where you are in life. Be very, very contrite and thankful. If you remain in your mind thankful for salvation, you will not sound arrogant to people. Be sincere. Learn to listen. Don't always have an answer. Listen, okay? And let God guide you. Here's a challenge. I'm going to leave you tonight and we're done. This morning. List five people with whom you would like to share the gospel. Doesn't matter who they are, family members, co-workers, your neighbor. I have a neighbor in the charity house. My heart is burdened for them. You know what we're doing now? Since we've been there for a while, anytime they drive by, they see me outside, we all wave now. I saw them at Tim Hortons. They go to that Tim Hortons over there. That's my second office. Tim Hortons over there in Irving. And I get away and kind of focus, right? And he drove by on a truck. And I looked this way. And he waved for the first time. And I waved back. The son walks around and looks at me and waves. He's big now. Big guy. So what am I telling you? God's working on my heart to approach those people. In front of me, there's an older gentleman that mows his yard. Same lawnmower that I have. That we have in the charity house. And I'm waiting for him to do it first, then I'll do the lawn next. But nobody's doing it in our yard yet. I saw somebody driving by, they started to mow. So maybe that would be time to mow. But he's a dear black man. The next neighbor to us is a young lady I see with a bunch of kids. Guess what I've been doing? I've been praying. Trying to approach them. How to approach them. Praying how to do it. What's my goal? Get the gospel to them. What's the next goal? Invite them here. Right? Let's do it. Lord, our time is gone. Thank you for these three people. I pray that they would take the challenge. They would think of five people. It's not that they're going to witness to them overnight right away, but they'll think about it. They might even know the names of these people, but they're thinking about it. Maybe it's that dear General, Dollar General lady that they see all the time when they go to Dollar General. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Amen.